I'm very, very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Chrissy Moores. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure, and welcome to Fremantle. If you need an introduction to Fremantle, welcome.
It's so good to be back. And my goodness, Fremantle just looks stunning. I mean, the changes in the last 10 years since I've been away in Chapel Street, Melbourne.
10 years.
In a decade.
I'm always fascinated by people's reactions generally. We can probably agree, I imagine, that everybody in Western Australia, it seems, certainly everybody in greater metropolitan Perth, feels as if they can pass judgments about Fremantle.
Don't they?
Good and bad. But having been away and having come back with fresh eyes, what do you see when you look at Fremantle?
I see a brand new Fremantle, and this is probably where you have a lot of the people that are or do throw rocks. They loved an old Fremantle, or they're connected to a Fremantle that didn't have gauge roads, didn't have FOMO, didn't have these new businesses, and certainly didn't have the likes of the skate park. And, you know, the new Fremantle right now is, it could compete worldwide, and it is a very different Fremantle to it was 10 years ago. So if you are looking at it and expecting it to be what it was 10 years ago, it's not going to be. And it is even better if you give it a chance.
Well, you returned to Perth as the CEO of the Fremantle Chamber of Commerce, and that must be an exciting job in prospect.
Yeah, it is. So I have been spending the last 7 years of my life as the General Manager of Chapel Street Precinct in Melbourne. So that was South Yarra, Windsor and Prahran. And I, of course, went through COVID with those businesses. I represented over 2,200 businesses over that period. And I think during the first month of COVID, that March 2020 that we always remember, there was about a business closing permanently every hour. And certainly for a period of a year there, I actually didn't even leave the house. So to come home, not only all the mouses or the morses are in Western Australia, I was born and bred here. I was lucky enough while I was away to write for the West Australian and talk about my time with COVID over in Melbourne. And it was nice to be able to give West Australians an idea of what it was over there. But to come back to this role is a, I know the cliche would be a dream come true, but there's an immense relief, but there's excitement at what is underneath us. And I feel like I can be exactly who I am in Fremantle. Maybe that's the old hippie vibe or the, you know.
Well, a lot of people leave their hometowns and flourish and blossom and become the people they want to be somewhere entirely different. So that's an interesting take. Sometimes prophets in their own land, of course, can have stones thrown at them. But in Fremantle, what's your description of your friends elsewhere about Fremantle? How do you describe the place and the people?
Easy. I've got three things. It's unique because there's nothing like this anywhere else. There's this soul and sand and sea that you can't describe. It's even the smell of Fremantle. I mean, even we had a sheep ship in this week, so the smell was... you can definitely remember it, the stink of Fremantle. But there's something about the soul, the sound, and the unique businesses that we have here. And it is in my experience that those unique businesses are going to be who are succeeding in the future. Those ones that are giving us a proposition where people will leave their houses or get off the couch from watching Netflix and to come and connecting, you know, having gauge roads now where it is, connecting us to Rottnest. I feel like I've never been so blown away by a municipality than driving down South Terrace, to be honest, and just going, my goodness, I remember walking down South Terrace and, you know, you'd kind of have to have your keys in your hand just in case, you know, just in case something happened. And you walk down it now and it's this cosmopolitan, uber cool, you know, you can't, that uber cool, let's think about St. George's Terrace. The city can't say uber cool, we can in Frio. So there's my third point.
Well, the weekly edition of the Shipping News, which comes out this afternoon, draws on that suggestion about South Terrace and the like. It was sort of the highway to hell once upon a time.
It sure was.
Parents were always nervous if their kids were going to Frio for Sunday night. And other parents were worried when they heard their kids were buying homes in South Fremantle.
I know, and now.
It's crazy, isn't it? But Sunday's going to be a big day with a high voltage. event. I mean, it's Bon Scott, it's AC/DC, Aka Daka. Everyone's going to just love it. Trucks with musicians going around the town, people performing at the Oval, down at South Beach, here in Esplanade Park. Tell me, from your experience at Chapel Street, what an event like that can do for a place.
It's invaluable. Every single sector of business on Sunday will benefit from this event. That's as black and white as I can say it to you. And this is an event that is so unique, and I know I keep saying the unique word because that's, you know, that is going to make us stand out. And this event has been talked about so much. I've never heard an event, everyone getting ready. You know, from 3 weeks ago, I had friends saying, oh my God, we must, you know, get out the boxes from the roof and get out our leather pants and see if we still fit into them. And there's something about, obviously, having the Bon Scott mural down there. There's something about Sunday that is electric and, again, talks to the unique soul. And you can't replicate what we have in Freo here.
No, you can't. I've had colleagues over the years from the eastern states who came here, and all they wanted to do was get down here into the centre of Freo. And if, wherever they were working in Perth, they'd go there from being in Freo. It's wonderful. Now tell me, though, a little bit more about the Chamber of Commerce. Many people will be familiar with the WA Chamber of Commerce,
yes,
which is in the business of telling state governments what they're doing right and usually what they're doing
yes,
doing
I
wrong.
Just read one, yes.
But what about the Chamber of Commerce in Fremantle? It's been here a long time, Chrissy.
150 years. So this month we turn 150, so I'm excited to ring that bell in as the new CEO. But most importantly, I now need to make sure that we conserve what we have and look after our businesses for the next 150 years.
Now, your businesses here, I'm guessing, as in the original businesses and the businessmen who helped set up
Absolutely.
The chamber all that time ago, some must be quite large, some must be quite small. How's the chamber going to go about representing, if you like, this diverse group?
So diverse, and I love that you asked that question, because we represent small businesses that could be mum and dad owned, that turn over a gross profit of around about 70k a year to ASX companies. So there's immense challenges in my role for representing that kind of span of businesses. But in terms of where I am and what we do for businesses right now, we're making sure that the Chamber of Commerce brand, as you put it, from the men that set it up, it is in a place that the brand is leading the way to make sure that businesses that join us are represented, but also have a whole lot of events that could be networking events, it could be upskilling events, ways that our community, our members can connect with each other and they can grow and prosper. That is it's no more complicated than that. Get our business group together and get them talking and do great things.
Well, people who visit Fremantle on a weekend who don't live here, but even people who do live here, are very familiar with the businesses like the small cafes, the bigger destination restaurants, the small coffee shops. They sometimes look up and wonder what's going on the second floors or the third floors of some of the higher buildings.
Oh,
there aren't
yes.
that many. We've got big new FOMO, of course, and,
yep.
and government departments there. How many separate businesses, if you like, have membership?
So I have over 300 businesses members right now at the Fremantle Chamber, and certainly in the 8 weeks that I've been here, it was 8 weeks yesterday, which
wow.
seems like 8 months, we've increased our members, and there's been a lot of people that have come in just recently saying, hey, I understand that you have the contacts for the big end of town, but also the mum and dad businesses, and we want to come into the fabric of what is the Chamber members, and we want to help out those. So they're coming in not only wanting stuff for themselves, but they are actually coming in with an altruistic proposition saying, hey, we'd like to be a member, but how can we help your membership base? Which I think is a big change, because there's usually when someone pays for a membership, you want something. And of course we are, you know, changing our model to make sure that there's huge return on investment. But now, even I had a meeting with someone this morning, and their only reason about wanting to join was to be part of the community, to help Fremantle as a community. And they are, there is so many of them in Freo. And I tell you what, I think that is the soul of Freo as well. Generally, people here really want to help you from the moment I started. You know, having the mayor take me under her wing, having, you know, really, the community really opened their arms up to me. was just fantastic. It's a passionate lot and I love it, but they're, you know, they're fantastic, unique humans.
Well, I think you're right. In my experience too, it's not only the buildings which can have an effect on humans, absolutely, but it's the people who grow to love and live here, who make the community work. The Chamber is an organisation. Does it have a sort of a written down mission statement?
It sure does.
What is it?
To make the greater Fremantle business sector grow and prosper. And that's a big proposition, right? Because you've got state government that has so many things that have influence, even, you know, some of the issues that aren't specific to Fremantle, which can stop that. And that is exactly why in the next couple of weeks I'm sitting down with our board of directors and looking at our strategy and looking at that vision and saying, where can we exactly play in Fremantle and what exact difference are we going to make? Because we're not going to get out of bed just to, you know, do little bits and pieces here. Certainly while I'm CEO, I want to make a big difference, and we need to, you know, obviously come down and look at it in a bit more micro sense and say, we are going to play really hard here and make a real difference for our businesses and the community.
Chrissy, as you would have known before you got here, but certainly discovered having arrived, the future Fremantle Committee of the State Planning Department is hard at work. It involves community representatives and I think probably yourself. Everyone's wondering how to plan and develop the Victoria Quay, North Quay area, including the land, which is pretty much vacant at the moment, going from Tideman Road down to Leighton Apartments on the west side, more or less, of the railway line that runs into Fremantle. Can you sort of start to imagine what might happen in there?
I absolutely am on the Future Fremantle Committee, and we had a meeting this week which talked about big picture for that area. And, you know, there were ideas from, you know, we were looking around the world at different icons or attractions that you could bring in that would be really unique to Fremantle. We were looking at different housing, different ways that we could connect the centre of Fremantle to that space. It is so vast and there is so much area. And we have to get it right. And I am convinced that the people that they do have around the table will. And I'm also convinced that they are going to take some risks and try a lot of things. But whatever they do, and from the ideas that I was hearing this week, they will have a focus on sustainability. But you know what? Actually, sustainability is just the bottom line. It will be hopefully, well, I know, the drive to make sure whatever is done there actually gives back to the universe. And also what they do down there is a legacy piece. I truly believe that we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and we have an opportunity to do something different, and the world is watching. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I like that the world is watching. I've written and suggested that not since John Septimus Roe wrote the Fremantle Town Plan in 1833.
Amazing.
And then C.Y.A. Connor built the Inner Harbour just near us here in the West End, which was opened in 1897, has there been such a monumental planning and development exercise?
Incredible. In fact, talking about C.Y. O'Connor, there is, if you get a chance, there's seaweed lines. So there's lines that have been put in the ground, put in the sea. How amazing, growing seaweed, so we can feed it to the cows. And this is a business that took them 2 years to get those lines in the sand. And there's all pockets in Fremantle of this innovation that people may not even know about. And we are in Fremantle leading the way in innovation.
Well, it'll reduce methane emissions.
Correct. I was trying to think of a really nice way to say it, and I couldn't say it eloquently, so thank you.
Yes, well, the big car fart.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So that's part of the process, and I imagine the Chamber wants to contribute to about what the future of work is, what businesses is Fremantle likely to see. And I guess in that sense, you look at what we've got at the moment. Are there any hints, do you think, for the future?
Absolutely. I vehemently want to tell you that I want to make sure that the businesses continue to get the foot traffic that they have been getting. We are going to take over 2,000 workers out of that dock and move them up. So I am pushing very hard to make sure that we, you know, not only replace those workers, but have more. My inside tip for you would be that it will be an attraction, and it will be a world-class attraction that sets us apart. Think about the gardens in Singapore. Every place has one of these attractions. The Bell Tower isn't going to cut it in Western Australia, is it? So we are going to have in Fremantle a world-class attraction. And I truly believe that, we are on the map right now, but this is going to even soar us even further.
Yeah, it really is going to be quite exciting. And articulating it so that the new Fremantle and the old historic Fremantle right here are connected is going to be a big challenge. I suppose many members who have their businesses on the southern side of the Inner Harbour want to know that their businesses aren't going to disappear overnight.
You're exactly right. And if we are very serious on this, we have businesses that will be signing 10-year leases now. And businesses, we have some vacant shops and, business owners are thinking, well, with what's going on with the Westport project, should I be signing a 10-year lease? And I'm here to say, absolutely. I feel so confident and I know that what is going to happen down there is actually going to make our business and our greater Fremantle region prosper.
Now, I'm sure the people who have retail businesses in Fremantle today, up and down the High Street and roundabout, report on these sorts of events more often than others. Sometimes people say, oh, the shops are empty.
Yep.
Sometimes they say there's some antisocial behaviour. And the council itself, the City of Fremantle, of course, seek to respond to all of that. But no doubt the Chamber seeks to make contributions to the thinking of the council and its elected members from time to time. How does the relationship between the Chamber and the council, City of Fremantle, work?
It works in a very collaborative fashion. I have very good relationships in there with people that I trust and they trust me. And we are working towards every issue we can. And I truly believe that they have the right people in the right positions. And the relationship between the Chamber and the City of Fremantle has never been better than now. And it needs to be because we're going through a huge amount of change.
Now, I'm also interested to know, going back to your Chapel Street experience, which sounds phenomenal, we could probably have a separate podcast on all of that, including the period when COVID locked everybody down. But what did you learn there that you think is transferable, if not everything what, to Fremantle?
If I take one thing from my time over COVID in Chapel Street Precinct, it was that it was a leadership, and I sigh because thinking back at that 2 years, it was an incredibly tough period for our businesses and certainly representing them. But one thing I can say is that when that happened, a lot of people went to ground and they weren't talking or they weren't standing up for their businesses. And I was one of the only voices in Melbourne that were, every night when I went to bed, I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything I could to make sure that that business community survived. And I think when there is a lot of turmoil, and there was an incredible amount of turmoil, especially in Victoria, given it was the world's longest lockdown, I said to myself, this is the time that we need to be brave. And it was about representing those small businesses and large businesses that didn't have a voice. And, we didn't even hear from our mayor over there at the time. So I became, every second night on the news, talking about the impact it was having to our businesses. And of course, we can't escape, the health impacts. But we, like I said to you, we were having a business permanently close every hour at the start, and livelihoods certainly were being destroyed. So my one lesson is to be brave. And I think with a passionate Fremantle community, I think they would demand that of me.
Well, I'm sure they won't be surprised when you start to deliver it. I suppose there's this general question about, how does one market Fremantle?
I'm going to keep it really simple again. Anything that we have that no one else has, that's what we should be marketing. If it's unique to us and we're really proud of it, then we need to market that. Because right now the marketing industry, and even when you walk down the street, it is saturated with branding and messages. And when you're scrolling up your Facebook feed, I feel like there's just messages coming everywhere. Keeping it simple, showing what we have that no one else has. I call them our Fremantle unfair advantages. So if we continue to push home our unfair advantages here in Fremantle, which we have a lot of them, that is where the win is. And I know the future of Fremantle is going to play a big part in that, but this is Fremantle branding that Linda Wayman and the Destination Marketing Committee team are working on. I'm lucky enough to have a seat on that. And we're working on a winter campaign right now that is exceptionally different and will raise some eyebrows in the market coming up. And I'd expect nothing less. if we're raising eyebrows with our marketing, people are talking about it. And we need to be standing out in the market because there's a lot of marketing that's boring as out there.
From a commercial point of view, or business point of view, or a chamber point of view, I suppose the more people who come to Fremantle with dollars in their pockets, the better it is for everybody who runs a business.
Absolutely. And that's what Sunday High Voltage is all about. Not only will people come and have a drink or two or three or more, they'll have lunch, they'll look around the shop. So even if our businesses aren't seeing an increase in the till, they're going to have their business exposed to over 100,000 people. So that is people walking past your business. These may be a new audience that have never been to Frio, or an audience that hasn't been here for 10 years. So absolutely everything I do, and certainly the events team in the City of Fremantle do, is to increase our foot traffic.
Now, the one thing that's surprised me in recent years is that Fremantle doesn't have a sort of a frock shop precinct. There's parts of Berlin where the designers are in there, it's fantastic.
Yes.
There are parts of Auckland just off the edge where that happens as well. Chapel Street Precinct knows about it.
Absolutely.
Why hasn't it really taken off in Fremantle? Should it?
I'd say that it is starting to. We are getting back that bohemian feel, and people that were, you know, in lockdown sitting on the couch are dreaming up ideas, and they are starting to open up those businesses. Look, we do with fashion have a global issue around fashion, and you can get fast fashion so easy. We have a jumbo jet full of ASOS clothes being shipped in here daily. So the market for fashion has changed, but I've certainly seen, even while I've been in here in the last 8 weeks, we've seen a huge amount of new cafes open, but also we've had a significant amount of new boutique fashion stores open. But what do they look like? They look like a store that holds a whole lot of different brands. So rather than just having one brand in there, they've got all these unique brands that have come in there, and people are traveling, you know, an hour to go to this one fashion store because they can't get it anywhere else. And that's what the win looks like.
That's what we want to hear. Now, you mentioned earlier, for members, events, and what can they look forward to?
They can look forward to an event every week. And you'd say, oh, event, but what are they? Mm. They can look forward to an event where they can connect with that huge, vast business community that we have. So you could come in and meet a mum and dad business, or you could meet a director of an ASX company. And the connection is where we're going to focus in the next year. So every week you'll have an opportunity to not only network, but you'll have an opportunity with your membership with the Fremantle Chamber to upskill. So we have lots of sessions, whether it be as simple as Xero, whether it be applying for grants. This is about supporting our members and connecting them. And we're very clear on what the return on investment is for our membership, and it's that. Connect them and upskill them.
Now, you've arrived, you've hit the ground running, I can see.
Thank you.
You're probably exhausted
from
8 weeks, and you won't get any rest over the weekend.
Absolutely not. I'll be rocking out on Sunday.
So what do you think in 12 months' time, when I invite you back and you agree to come and chat to me, what will the report card look like? What do you want it to look like?
I'm very clear on what I want it to look like. You can imagine. And that is exactly this. I want to make sure that we have significantly increased our profile. I want to make sure that we are delivering almost an event every week. And I want our membership database to have met me and have actually spent time with me at least once in that 12-month period. So if you think of 300 people, that's, you know, me making sure that I see our members at least once a year. Now, you know, when you join a membership organisation, sometimes you never hear from them. We're saying we want you to lean into this membership. Come and talk to us and let us walk side by side with you for the business. So there it is. Increase the profile and then increase the amount of events, and in turn, increase their return on investment for our members.
Chrissy, how did you get here? And I don't mean did you come by an electric scooter this morning, or a bus, or a train, or a Lamborghini?
I wish.
But where did you start out that led you down some path that has made you the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce and Freelancer?
It's quite a fun ladder. It began at 92.9, the radio station. Mm. Most of my career up until the last 8 years has been in TV or radio. I spent a lot of time at Channel 7 in Perth. Also jumped in the fat cat costume now and then. So sometimes when you see you put the kids to bed, that'll be me as well. But it was always for me, I was exceptionally passionate about marketing, doing good marketing and showing a return on investment for a business. So working within both Nova, the radio station, which I did many years there, and also with Southern Cross Austereo, I worked my way up to the top of the head of promotions and marketing that they call it. And then I also, in between that, did a lot of executive producing. And we also saw that the chief marketing officers were often being overlooked for the general manager or the CEO positions. And, you know, we are sometimes looked at as the fun and games department. And I think if you can get a good marketer that can prove their return on investment, they are worth their weight in gold. They are often also the marketing department, the best communicators. And I also say the creatives are also the best problem solvers. So in terms of raising our profile up, I decided that I wanted to move across from being a CMO or a chief marketing officer onto being a company director, and saw that you could see that our boards are missing, obviously not only females, but they're missing the communicators and they're missing marketers. And I was seeing that the accountants were getting the general manager or the CEO roles.
The bean counters.
The bean counters were being moved in, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to change this trend. I went away to the East, did a lot of postgraduate study in leadership and certainly my directorship, and I've come back and I'm here to say that the creatives are the best CEOs. We are the best problem solvers.
Well, let's get entirely personal and let me ask.
Please.
What do you do in your spare time?
Well, I have been craving since being in Melbourne. I came home here white as the walls in this office here. So I've been spending so much time down the beach. I love stand-up paddleboarding. I'm also a competitive sailor, so it's been really nice to get out on Wednesday night in the twilights again. Anything to do with water. I'm also a scuba diver instructor, so really I'm a human fish.
I don't know why I'm surprised to hear all of that, but I am. Maybe, probably, because I wouldn't have thought you had time.
Oh, I definitely, right now the Chamber is my focus, but it has been equally for me to show our staff members that you do, work can't be your life. I'm so passionate about Fremantle, but I also need the downtime. And when I am having my downtime, I'm at my church, and that church is Bathers Beach House.
Well, I think Fremantle and Chrissy Moores are going to be a good fit.
Thank you, I'm loving it.
Thanks for coming and talking to me today, Chrissy.
Pleasure.